Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm going to try this whole preaching from a tablet thing. They all tell me I need to get more techie, so I'm going to try and preach from a tablet tonight. The only problem is the tablet didn't get hooked into the Wi-Fi yet, so it says it's 12:09. So when I look at the clock on my tablet, just don't. I'm not going to keep preaching until late, but we're going to take care of it. I would be remiss if I did not mention this. I forgot to mention it this morning. I forgot to talk to her this morning. I forgot to get her to come up. But I did not introduce my wife this morning. My wife, Laura Peavy, over here in the corner. She's probably going to kill me now because I'm making a point about her. But without my wife, there's no way I could do the ministry that we do. I say we do. We do as a family. Missions is a family-oriented thing. The people that you minister to see you as a family interact. You, your wife, your kids, how your kids interact. Everything is a replica or is a reflection of how your family unit acts as a whole. And I would be remiss to say, if I didn't say it, that she is one of the best helpmeets that I could have asked for. She watches for me. She keeps me, because I have a tendency, as being a good old Florida boy, of running my mouth and continuing to talk and say things that I shouldn't be saying and to keep going. And oftentimes, when we're sitting at a table, I get a swift kick under the table in my shin. That tells me, yeah, you need to stop, because she notices things that I don't. And so it's a family unit. It's a unit as we work together, and it's a way that we can be together, and she can help me, and I can help her, and we can help each other so we don't fall into the ditch. We're going to be in Genesis this evening as we get started. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22 as we're going to be. We're going to jump around a little bit, but not a whole lot. We're going to jump around a little bit. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is, what is faith? If you'd asked me 5 years ago, I told you it was something completely different than what I tell you today. 5 years ago, I had an idea of what faith was. 5 years ago, I knew what was going on. I was fresh out of Bible college, and I was ready to go. Actually, more like 10 years ago. I'd preach messages about faith, preach messages about how everybody needs to stand on faith, and faith alone can get you through everything. Hebrews 11:1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's stuff that you can't see what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know it's there. And that's a great definition of it. And I will apologize to the ladies in the back. I see their hands going crazy. Recently, I was asked to interpret, and the ladies back there are interpreting as well. And I was asked to interpret for Spanish, and I got going way too fast. So I apologize in advance because I get excited. But faith, I could tell you what faith was. I could tell you faith is saying, okay, I can stand on this balcony here. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to break something. But I can stand on this balcony would hold me. It would hold me. I could tell you that. But I could sit there and look at it and be like, okay, yeah, that's what it means. But if I don't actually get up and do it, what am I saying? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not going to do it now because I don't want to mess something up. I believe it could hold me, but I'm not going to do it because I don't want to mess something up. But I would have told you all about what faith is and how faith works and how Hebrews 11 chapter 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. I would have told you all these things. But I tell you today, I didn't know what I was talking about back then. Because faith is so much more than that. I have learned so much more about faith. I have learned so much more about it. All those things are still true. But back then, I don't think I was really a man walking by faith. And 10 years from now, I'll probably tell you, back then, 10 years ago, I wasn't a man walking by faith. Because faith is a thing that grows. And it's a continual growing process. It's something that continues to move. And it continues to go throughout your life. And the Lord has taught me a lot about faith in the last 3.5 years. Taught me a lot about it. Taught me so much about different things that involve walking by faith. And what my job is to walk by faith and how to walk by faith. And what to do walking by faith and how to do it. And it's something that we have to all learn. You say, well, why are you preaching this to us? Why are you preaching this? This missionary's up here, he's going to talk about money. He's just going to get up here and talk about money. That's all missionaries ever do. Because when I was a teenager, I grew up in church. I grew up in Lakeland, Florida. I grew up in church. I would go to the churches, and we would have missions conferences. Back then, they were a week long. And it would be every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. Had missions conferences. And all the times, the preachers, all I would ever think of, because I was a carnal teenager, unsaved, in the church, I would think, these guys just don't want to work. These guys are just worried about money. They just want to get people to provide for them so they don't have to work. What a bunch of sorry people that don't want to do anything. That was my mentality as a teenager. Of what missionaries are. And that's not. And I will tell you now today, after being a missionary for 3.5 years, money is the least of my worries. The Lord will always provide for me. The Lord will always provide for everything I need. Perfect example of it. We were in the DR and we had a problem. Something was coming up. We didn't know how we were going to pay for it. We had some issues with our air conditioning unit. You know what Central Florida's like? Okay, imagine Central Florida without an AC unit in your house, without central air. All you have is a little mini split system that goes in your wall and cools your bedroom off, and you can only run it for a few hours a day because it's so expensive for electricity. So imagine that. We wanted to get a new air conditioning unit. We wanted a new one because the new one were the inverter ones and we could take care of it. But we were like, you know, we don't have the money to do it. We're not going to buy it right now. Let's pray about it and let the Lord deal with it. Well, sometime later that month, we got a letter saying, well, Christmas missionary offering came in this month. I said, well, we're going to use it on ourselves. So we took that money and used it and put it towards some other stuff, the other stuff that we had, and put it together and we were able to buy it. The Lord always provides for us. So money is not what we're going to talk about tonight. The aspect of faith being about money is not what we're going to talk about tonight. What I'm going to talk about tonight is how you can be a person that lives and walks by faith. How you can be a person that wants to serve God and to serve God faithfully and be a person that walks by faith. So let's read this passage. We're going to read down through about verse 12. We're going to read through verse 12. And this is a familiar passage, and everybody knows it, and it's something that we have. And it came to pass, chapter 22, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, and take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him of. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither thou do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast now withheld thy son and only son from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him upon a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I want you to ask a question. What is faith? Faith is believing in something you can't see and knowing that the end result is what's going to happen. That God is going to provide for you whatever situation you are in. But the first thing, faith requires action. Look at verse 3. Abraham had to get up and go. It says, and Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and went to the place which God had told him of. After 3 days, they got there. Abraham had to get up and go. And that's the problem with a lot of people nowadays. God is working on them to do something. He is pricking their hearts, saying, you need to do this. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the Lord's working on your heart about. But it's saying, you need to do this job. You need to do this thing. You may think, well, I'm not capable of doing that. Well, if God's putting on your heart, He thinks you are. He thinks you are. So you need to get up and get to work, get to moving. And that's the problem, is most people are too scared to get up and go and do what they're called to do. And I'm not saying everybody's called to be a missionary on a foreign field. That's not what I'm saying. But there's jobs in the church. As Pastor was talking about this morning, it's your job to go. Maybe it's just to go to your neighbor across the street and talk to him. It doesn't matter what it is. God has given you a job to do. You need to get up and go and do that job. Have the courage to get up and work on it. Have the courage to go and do the things that God has called you to do. Because faith requires action. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't listen to a whole lot of stuff in church, only when they got to the illustrations and the stories. That's all I really listened to as a kid because I wasn't a good kid. But I remember one guy talking, and the moral of the story was, is you never know what blessings God has in store for you. Said that, I don't remember the story, said the guy, a man died and went to heaven, and was in heaven. He was a Christian. He got to heaven, and he was sitting there walking around heaven after a little while, walking around, and he got to this big warehouse that was over there. And he said, what's in that big warehouse? I said, I don't know. So, what's in the big warehouse? You don't want to go look at that. He said, what is it? He said, go look at it. And he went to the big warehouse, and he walked in, and there's a whole shelf of files on the shelves, like a filing warehouse. And each one of the file boxes had a name on it. And the guy went over and looked at the name, and there was a name on it. He's like, ooh, I wonder if my name's in here. So the guy went through, and he started looking, and he went through, and he finally found a box that had his name on it. And he opened the box up, and he looked at all these blessings that were inside, and he starts reading them, and he says, I don't remember this in my life. I don't remember this blessing in my life. I don't remember this blessing in my life. What is this? And the guy says, these are all the blessings that you could have had if you had done what you were supposed to do. If you had had the faith to work on it. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know what the Lord has for us. But the moral of the story was, is we never know what we're going to miss out on. We never know what the Lord has in store for us until we get up and do it. Until we get up and move. Until we get up and make that first step. Because after that first step, it gets easier. And easier and easier and easier. As I said, I grew up in church and I wasn't a good kid. And I was one of the ones that were in the back of the church making fun of everything else and not listening because I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was 20 years old. So I knew what the gospel said. I knew what I needed to do as a kid. I knew what I was supposed to be doing. But I didn't want to move. I didn't have the faith that my life would actually change if I did what I was supposed to do. I was too happy in my sins, too happy being complacent in where I was at. And then one day I went on a CWE trip. I was 19 years old. Went on a trip to the Dominican Republic, no less. And we got there and we were building a clinic for SCORE International. And the first night of devotions came around and the guy started talking, Paul Paleo. Many of you know Paul Paleo, right? Paul Paleo started talking. He was talking about faith and living your life that's right and being a Christian and being what you're supposed to be and living and winning other people to the Lord and everything else. And I'm sitting there saying, well, I know I'm not doing any of that because I'm not even a Christian. I knew it. I knew I wasn't living a life that was pleasing unto God. I said, well, I don't want to go talk to him tonight. So I stopped. I didn't go. Next night, devotions came around again. And after devotions, I was sitting there. I was like, I need to talk to Paul. I need to talk to Paul. I need to talk to Paul. I was like, well, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to talk to him. I went back night again and went to bed. I couldn't sleep. I knew what I needed to do. I knew how I needed to change. I knew I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior because I had never done it. So I stopped right there that night and I did what I was supposed to do. Accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The next day, I got up and I was like, well, I need to go talk to Paul. Tell him what happened last night. That's going to bring up all the bad stuff that I've done. I was drinking, doing a little bit of drugs, not much, smoking. Anything you can do, I name it, I was doing it. My grandpa was on the trip. I was like, well, I talked to Paul. I'm going to tell everybody else what's going on, what my life has been like. I need to go talk to Paul, tell him what I did last night. And I took that first step. And after I took that first step, the next foot followed. And I went over and talked to Paul. And it's all history from there. That's what it's been since then. And you may be saying, well, what does this have to do with me? The first step is always the hardest. If you have a job that you need to do, the Lord's pricking you and you don't have the faith to do it, you don't think you can do it, you're scared, you're worried, whatever it is, that first step is the hardest. So you take that first step, go talk to your pastor, go talk to your deacon, go talk to your mentor. Take that first step and go talk to him. And I guarantee you it will be easier after that. I know when Abraham got up, what did God promise to Abraham? He promised him the land, and he promised him a seed, a child. And in chapter 20:21, it says that in Isaac your name shall be called. God tells him that Isaac is the one that I promised to you. You will have multiple, and your seed shall be at the stars of the sky, or the sands on the seashore. That's how many of your descendants you're going to have. And he says, in Isaac your name shall be called. But what did God tell him to do? Go and sacrifice Isaac. Wonder how hard that first step was that next morning. Faith requires action. And once you start that action, it will get easier. I said easier, not always prettier. Some of the jobs you may be being called to do aren't the prettiest of job to do. But as long as you have the Lord, you can get through it. You can do whatever it is. How long of a walk did he have to go? It said 3 days they had to go. Now, how easy was it back in this time to pack up and go for 3 days' journey? You just hop in your Sonata, hop in your GMC, your Chevy, your Ford, whatever you got, and you just drive, you know, drive 3 days. That's a feat enough in itself here now. I mean, I can't imagine, well, we've done it. We've hopped in the car and driven to Colorado before. That's not exactly easy. But it's not near as what it would be traveling 3 days by camel, by donkey, by foot. Did they stop at a La Quinta Inn or a Quality Inn or a Country Center Suites? Maybe if they had a little extra money, a Holiday Inn? No, they didn't stay at no Holiday Inns. They slept in tents outside. It's a 3 day journey. Was it an easy job? No, it wasn't easy, but after that first step, it got easier than it was to start with. And that's what life is. You look at life and you sit there, and I know a lot of you are older, and you can look back at your life and you can say, well, that's how the Lord worked. I see it there. I see how He worked in my life that way. But as you walk through life, life is not easy. But it's easier when you're walking with the Spirit. And when you're walking by faith and you know that the Lord has a plan for your life and you're walking according to that plan and you're following Him, the Lord always has something for you. And He's always there for you. It may not always be what you plan. And it may not always be easy. It may not always be what you want necessarily. But if the Lord put something on your heart, you need to do it. Many of you know, my wife grew up in Brazil. We originally planned to go to Brazilians here in the U.S. And work with Brazilians. We'd originally looked at going to Kissimmee and working with Brazilians in Kissimmee. We'd originally looked at possibly going to Massachusetts because there were a lot of Brazilians up in Massachusetts. Well, then they all started going home. So we said, okay, well, the Lord doesn't want us to go to the States. We're going to go to Brazil. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go to Brazil. Brazil is nice. You know, where we're going to go is Curitiba, where she grew up. It's kind of like the Carolinas. It's cool in the winter and hot. Not too terrible hot in the summer, but it's warm. It's not like Florida. It's not nearly like Florida, Central Florida. And we said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Brazil. And we started going to Brazil. Well, the Lord shut that door too. And the Lord said, okay, the Dominican Republic. And I said, no. Florida boy left Florida for a reason. He didn't like the heat. He likes the nice weather. Dominican is where? It's in the tropics. Is that cool? Is that nice weather? No, I don't think we want to go there. I said no. The Lord said yes. I said no. The Lord said yes. I said, okay, Lord, we're going to go. And we went to the Dominican Republic. And it was great. And we got there and the Lord provided for us and the Lord did everything we did. I'm going to say that faith, when you're following the Lord, is not always what you have in mind for your life. It's not always what you have in mind for your life. The Lord will change it. The Lord will give you something else, and you will be happy with whatever He gives you. Because when you try and fill your hands with something, you're only putting what man can put in there. But when you open it up and say, Lord, fill my hands with what you want me to have, it's far greater than anything we could ever do for ourselves. So when we're walking by faith, when we're following after the Lord, we're doing what He says, we need to continue in searching in that and requires action on our parts. We have to get up and we have to go. We have to get up and do whatever the Lord is pricking in our hearts to do. You may say, well, I'm, 70 years old. I'm 80 years old. I don't have much time left on this earth. Well, if you're on this earth still, it means God's got a reason for it. He's still got something for you to do. So continue to do it. Continue to work until the day the Lord calls you home. Faith requires action on our parts. The second thing I can see in this passage, faith is taught. Let's look at this. Verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. I want to ask yourself a question. We don't know the exact age of Isaac at this point. But let me ask a question. How many of you ever walked up a mountain? Just walked up a mountain. That's okay. It's strenuous on your legs and everything else. Now, how many of you ever walked up a mountain carrying a load of wood that's enough to have a sacrifice? Was Isaac a little guy? Was he a little kid just walking around holding his daddy's hand? He had to have carried something. He had to have been able to struggle. And as you look at it, and look, if you look on down, and it says here in verse 9, it says, and they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid the altar upon the wood. Now, if I was Isaac, and I've been asking my dad, where's the offering, Dad? Where's the offering, Dad? What are we going to use? And I get up to the top of that mountain, and Dad grabs the rope and starts tying me up. I'm going to run. Dad, what's going on? I don't know what you're trying to do. I'm going to run. Is this some kind of joke? No, I'm going to run. But what did Isaac do? Did it say Isaac resisted? Did it say Isaac ran? Isaac had faith in his father and he had faith in his Lord too. But where did he get that from? He got that from watching his dad. His dad taught him faith. And that's something we have to teach to the younger generations. It's not something you just wake up one day, oh, I got faith. The younger generation is watching us. It's watching to what we're doing to see how we react in situations. Just like Abraham taught faith to his son Isaac, what else did he teach to his son Isaac? He taught him how to lie. What did Abraham do when he went down to Egypt? He said, my wife is my sister. He said, Sarah is my sister. What did Isaac do when he went down the same thing? So the children watch everything that we do. The little ones watch everything that we do. And they mimic us. They do exactly the same things that we do. So we need to realize that we are teaching the next generation by our actions. You may say, well, I'm 80 years old. I don't have another generation behind me. I'm about done. They're raising their own generations. You know who my best man was in my wedding? My grandfather. My grandfather had a huge impact on my life. So do you still think you don't have an impact on the younger generations? When I was a teenager, one of the main reasons, the only reason that I didn't go any crazier than I did to where all my other friends were doing is because I didn't want to disappoint my grandma and my grandpa. Not because I didn't want to disappoint my parents. As I said, I was a rebellious teenager. I didn't care what my parents thought. But it was my grandparents I didn't want to resent. So do you think you older generation have an impact on the youngers? Yes, you do. You say, well, I may be just a young little teenager. We've got a couple teenagers right over here. Who do you think you can represent? Who do you think you can teach? So I'm just a young teenager. I can't teach anybody. I'm just a young guy. I'm just a young girl. I don't have anybody that I can teach. You got younger brothers and sisters. Well, you may not, but there's younger kids around that are looking up to you, watching you, and seeing everything you do. You can influence somebody. Every one of you can influence somebody and can teach somebody and to show them how to walk by faith. But how can they walk by faith and see your example if you're not walking by faith? And you're not walking in a way that is right before the Lord. You're not walking in a way that shows them the Lord is in control. The Lord can take care of me. The Lord has got this. And that's the problem with most people nowadays, is they're so relying on what Google says to do. They're so relying on what the next book coming out says to do. They're so reliant on what they need to do to make money, to have a good business, to have a good family life, to whatever it is. They're so worried about what everybody else is telling them to do when they're not looking at what the book says to do. And if you're not walking by faith as a person, The people that are watching you aren't going to walk by faith either. They aren't going to walk by faith either. And that's the problem. As you look back at the book of Judges, what's the pattern in Judges? The people did what was right. And then once that generation died off, the next people behind them did what was wrong. And the nation came in and oppressed them and they cried out and God gave them a judge. And as long as that judge was alive and those people were alive, the good examples were alive, what happened? They did great. But as soon as those examples died off, what happened? They went right back to what they were doing before. Because there was nobody walking by faith anymore. They weren't walking by faith and they weren't following after the Lord. You have to be an example to those that are under you. And we have to teach these children that. We have to teach it to them. Because they aren't going to just wake up one day and say, "Oh, I'm here. I understand it." You've got to walk by faith. Does anybody know what 2 Timothy 2:2 says? Paul's talking to Timothy. It says, "The things that I've heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou the same thing to faithful men who should be able to teach others also." That is our job. That is where it's at. When you say, "Well, you're sitting here talking about this and you're telling us all about how to walk by faith and how to do these things and how we need to be doing these things. Well, how have you done that?" When we left for the DR, we started getting prepared in the summer of 2017. Started getting prepared because we knew we were going to be leaving sometime that year. And I sat there and I said, "All right, we're going to the Dominican. Good deal. I'm ready to go." Like June, July, started getting everything prepared to ship a container down. And we got the container all packed up. And it was like, "Okay, we're good to go. Let's go." September rolls around. I'm like, "What are we doing?" "We're going to a country." "Yep, we're going. We're good to go." My faith started to waver. We got down to October and some other people were talking about it. "Y'all ready to go?" Yeah, we're ready to go. "We're good to go. Let's go." Got down to the week of and I said, "Woof, what am I doing? I got a 10-month-old baby or a 1-year-old baby. I've got a 4-year-old child, a wife, a kid. We're going to another country where I don't speak the language yet. We're going to this country and I don't know what's going to happen. Ooh, what have I done? What have I done to my family?" And this all came back to me. "Daryl, this is the path that I have chosen for you. Daryl, this is the path that I have chosen for you and your family. Trust me, and you will be okay." I'm not going to lie. There were some times where it was kind of scary. We got there that first night. As soon as we got there, the power went out. Got in the house, it was pitch black, brand new house we'd never been in before, pitch black. Can't find the flashlight, can't find anything. No ACs, hot. "Okay, Lord, this is all you. I'm going to walk by faith. This is what you have called me to do. We're going to stay. We're not going to turn around and run back right now." We got into ministry and we started working in ministry and we wanted to start we got to November and we wanted to do a teen camp right off, start off with. We got there and we said, "Okay, we're going to do a teen camp. I'm ready for this teen camp. Let's get these teens involved, get them going, get to know them and get to have a relationship with them and get some other teens coming." I was all gung-ho because I was saying, "All right, we're going to do this." If you know anything about Dominicans, when it rains, they don't do anything because they're afraid if they get their hair wet, they're going to get sick. So they don't go outside. They don't do anything. If it's raining, they do not go anywhere. They stay indoors and they hide. No joke. Because they're scared death of getting sick. First night of the conference, guess what happens? Torrential downpour. We get there and we got 3 kids. The 3 faithful ones. Second night of the mission, of the camp we were going to do. The little at-home camp we were going to do. Another downpour. 2 kids. I said, "Well, numbers are dwindling." Third night of the conference, or the camp. Torrential downpour. 1 kid was there. And it was later, faithful to do what we were told to do, we kept doing it. It was later that one of the kids told me, he said, "That night that you came and it was just me, And we did this conference, this camp that we were going to do. You did it anyway. You didn't cancel. That was when I knew that you actually cared about us. We didn't know that till later. But you need to remain faithful. That was very discouraging for me. After those first three nights, and brand new, fresh into ministry, fresh into everything, and getting there and getting discouraged like that. It was disheartening. But we had to stay faithful. We had to remain and do what we were called to do, because the Lord is faithful. You have to teach these things. Now, if we had stopped and just said, okay, I'm done, we're going to go home now, what would that have taught to my children? What would that have taught to the teens that were there? The other people that I've spoken to over the years, the kids that I've, the camps that I've been to, the camps that I've preached at, that everything else that we've done, what would that have told them? First sign of trouble, tuck tails and run. That's faith for you. I've had my tests. I've had my trials. I'm sure Pastor could tell the same thing. But you know what? The other thing I know is they're not over yet. There's going to be more coming. And there's more areas where we have to walk through, and we have to walk through the fire, and we have to remain faithful. We have to stand faithful, because those that are around us are watching us to see what happens whenever we run through those trials. Because there are people out there that are looking and saying, I want him to fail. The cynics. There's also the kids out there that you've had made an impression on that are watching you as well to see what you do whenever troubles come. You have to remain faithful to whatever job it is the Lord has called you to do. Whatever job it is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's cleaning up in the nursery, whether it's sweeping the floors, whatever it is. Whether it's getting pastor's water bottle for him. Whatever the job the Lord has called for you to do, you need to do it with faithfulness. And to do it with a way that is saying, Lord, I love you. I'm doing this to serve you. This is all for you, Lord. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. Because others are watching as well. Let's go back to verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5 and look at verse 5. Faith requires action. Faith requires you to be teaching others. It's taught. And faith a lot of times is not logical to the human brain. You look at it and you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. How is that going to work? Look at verse 5. What does Abraham say? He knows what he's getting ready to go do. But what does Abraham say? And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. We will come back to you. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, I believe it is, 11:17-19, it goes through the thing saying that Abraham knew that this was the child that God had promised to him, and that God would raise him from the dead, because he believed God and trusted God. That doesn't make sense to the normal human brain. But it does to God. There's going to be things that come up in your life, and you're going to look at it and you're going to say, Lord, why do you want me to do this? Why do you want me to go here? Why do you want me to do this job? What, this doesn't make any sense to me, Lord. But it makes sense to God. Faith is following God even whenever you don't understand why. Faith is following what He says to do even when you don't understand it. You don't know why, you just know that He has told you to do it. He has told you to go. He has told you to do this job. And God's going to take care of it. The problem is us humans are so plan-oriented. We have to look at a plan and say, okay, if I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is going to happen. And these are the steps I need to take in order to get to this final point. There's been people that made millions in books writing these books like that. You do these steps, these five steps, you're going to be successful. You do these five or six things and you do them in this order, then you're going to be successful. We have to have a plan laid out in front of us to show us exactly what we're supposed to do. What does the Bible say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does a lamp do? How many of you ever used an old lantern? An oil-burning lantern. If you turned all the lights out and you had an oil-burning lantern in your hands, how far ahead of you can you see? probably about where the steps are at, right? They don't have some big, huge candle-watt flashlight that can shine and light up the whole wide world. It's a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. God doesn't promise us to know all the details. That we're going to know all the details of our life, all the plan that He has for us. All He tells us to do is to follow. And to follow after Him. Now, I want to ask you this question. In this world that we're in today, with everything that's going on, I'm not going to get political, I'm not going to get anything like that, but everything that's going on in this world today, a lot of stuff doesn't make sense. A lot of stuff you sit there and think, well, why is the Lord allowing this to happen? Why is the Lord allowing things to go the way they're going? Why did He allow this to happen? Why is He doing this? It's not up to us to know the why. It's up to us just to follow. Say, Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to spread the gospel. I'm going to do what I've been ordered to do by You. And I'm going to remain faithful. Even though it doesn't make sense to me, I don't understand what You're doing in my life. I don't understand why You're going the way You are going. I don't understand what's going on. I am going to remain faithful. And missions, that is what it is. It's remaining faithful. It's remaining a person that could be counted faithful to do everything you're asked to do of. I was talking to the pastor today at lunch. A missionary's job is to go in place of the church. Send them out. I'm representing this church. That's why missionaries come back and give a report. This is what we did with the money that You sent to us. While I'm there, can I do work here? No. It's Your job to do the work here. It's my job to do the work there. So missions is a whole church involved in it. Not just the foreign missionaries, but the missionaries here in the field, here at home too. You are just as much required to be a faithful servant here in the U.S. in Land O'Lakes, or Lutz, or Tampa, or wherever you live. Newport Richey, wherever it is. You're just required just as much to be faithful here as I'm required to be faithful there. So what are you doing to walk by faith? What are you doing in your personal life to make this church, First Baptist Church, Land O'Lakes, what are you personally doing to further the gospel through this church? And you say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher. Well, can you clean up after everything? Can you make cookies? Can you cut the grass to make it look good? Can you help in the nursery? Well, that's not a pretty job. I've got to change diapers. Well, everybody's got to do a job somewhere. What are you personally doing to serve the Lord? What are you personally doing to walk by faith to make this mission field here, this church, a light into the world? A light to all mankind to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. We are serving the Lord. Back in the day, it was Israel's job to be a light to the nations. Today, it's the church's job to be a light to the nations. You have to be showing other people. And if you're not doing that, if you're not personally walking by faith, you're not going to be able to show someone else how to walk by faith. You're not going to be able to show somebody else what it's like to be a Christian that is living a life that is pleasing unto God if you're not doing it yourself. If you're not willing to do the little jobs, the little things in life, how are you going to be able to do the big things? Jeremiah says, if you've run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how are you going to run with the horses? How are you going to be able to do it? And you say, well, maybe some of you are out there saying, well, the Lord's convicted me and I want to be a missionary. I want to be involved in ministry full time. I want to be doing something more for life, for the church, for whatever. You know how that starts? With the little things. With the little things. You come to the pastor and you take that step out in faith and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to talk to pastor. Pastor's going to help guide me. So you come over and talk to pastor. Pastor, I want to be used. Somebody said they want to be used in the church this morning whenever they came in. Heard that. That's a dangerous statement sometimes. But it's also a good statement. If you want to be used, you go to the pastor and say, Pastor, You know my gifts. You know what I'm capable of. Where do you want me? I want to be faithful. And that first step is the hardest. Because once you take that first step and you talk, you're going to be held accountable. And you're going to have to do it. And that's what a lot of people don't like. It's the reason I didn't want to, because I knew, when I was 15, I knew I wasn't saved. It's the reason why I didn't want to, is I knew I was going to be held accountable. And I was too happy in my complacent life. I was too happy living the way I was living. I didn't want to change. And that faith requires action, will bring forth a change in your life. And you'll look back on it later and say, why didn't I do that earlier? I could have saved myself so much time and so much trouble. I would have just done this earlier. So as you leave out of here today, ask yourself, what does God have for me to do to further this church? Be with the pastor.